the older folks, and VBS's. I don't very much because I'm bashful like you. But tomorrow, if you want to jump in and sing and do whatever, that would be okay. At least have a happy smile on your face. Be a happy camper. I enjoy, love watching the children. I know that you do too. Nothing, anything like children. And I love vacation Bible school. Growing up, we didn't go to church. So I don't remember going to a vacation Bible school when I was a boy at all. I might have, but I just don't remember it. The late brother Darrell Davis taught me about vacation Bible school. He was the vacation Bible school master. He was good, but now we've added a whole lot to it. This is not late Darrell Davis's Bible school. We've added a lot more to those songs, and I love it. I really do. But folks, we're going to go camping too. We're going to be on a camping trip also this week in our classes. I was thinking about camping. I am the greatest camper that there is, but I don't go camping. I just want to. I'm a wannabe. And Ray, this is true. Every night, almost every day, I'll say 5-6 days a week, I will watch on YouTube videos about camping. I want to go camping. We're just not campers. And I'm very interested in tent camping and winter tent camping, trying to build up to it. But I love to watch camping on these videos, dream about going to some of these places. But this week, we're going to go camping. We're going to look at some things, and I hope these will be of interest to you. Please feel free to say anything you'd want to say, and you might have to get my attention. I don't know if any of you have difficulty hearing. I've had it for several years, but the last week and a half has been horrible. We went to a singing last night at the Spring Valley Church, and you know how those country folks sing. Now, boy, they were singing. I couldn't hear anything. It was so bad that I couldn't even read the songs on the screen up there. It's just thrown me for a loop. So if I start doing some loops, just look over me. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, please. Catching some fish. Now here's what the children are going to be studying tonight. You may know this. Their lesson's titled Catching Some Fish. Nothing passes the time quite like going out and catching fish. For me, it's just passing time. I cannot catch fish. Any of you here have ever known a man named Jerry Job? Brother Jerry died several years ago. He said, "Sonny, let's go crappie fishing." I said, "Man, yeah, I'm ready to go crappie fishing." We got out there in the Tennessee. He was sitting like right here on throwing out this side. I was sitting here throwing out this side. True story. He began to catch crappie, and I didn't catch the first fish. He said, "Well, let's swap sides." Well, let's swap sides. He began catching fish. That whole day, I did not catch one crappie. I'm just not a fisherman. But often, especially on Saturday mornings, I watch fishing tournaments and just dream about how people catch these fish. Tonight, we're not going to dream. We're not going to dream about catching fish. We're going to look at catching fish. Our children, this week, will learn that we've been called to tell others about the good news of Jesus. Their lesson, or the lesson given to me, is calling of the first disciples. Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 through 11. I really want to start in Luke chapter 4 and begin in verse 42. And let's look at Luke 4:42 and read through Luke chapter 5 and verse 11. Don told me a starting time, and I know he told me a stopping time, but I have no idea what time the stopping time is, but I know we'll come to it. And if I keep going and it's time to stop, well, just let me know. We'll stop. I don't know why we even sometimes have stopping times when it comes to worship. One of the worst mistakes, this is just my opinion, don't have to be yours. One of the worst mistakes we made in the church is saying we meet from this time to this time. That hampers us so much that we have to stop right when it's getting good. Now, that's just my personal opinion. Don't have to be yours. Luke chapter 4 and verse 42. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. New King James Version. Went into a deserted place and this deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because of this purpose I've been sent. Jesus is saying, I can't stay right here with you forever. I've been sent to preach to all. And as he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee, verse 1, chapter 5, so it was as the multitude pressed him to hear the word of God. You know, folks, we in my lifetime, I don't think it's ever been that way. I became a Christian in 1975, and I've known multitudes of people that love hearing the word of God. But especially today, we don't see, in this country, we don't see people pressing to hear the word of God. It says that he stood out by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into the boat, one of the boats, and it was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little farther from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Verse 4, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, in all my lessons, I hadn't done this in my Bible, but in all my lessons, right beside verse 4, I have written or will write the word trust. The word trust. Verse 4, said to Simon Peter, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And what he's saying is, trust me. But Simon Peter, verse 5, Simon Peter answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. We see this also in Matthew, and we see this in Luke. And they don't, Matthew and Luke doesn't give us the detail Matthew and Mark, rather, don't give us the detail that Luke gives us. Same story. One writer says he believes it's two different stories. I personally don't. I think he's telling the same story, just they don't give the detail. In verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9 says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you'll catch men. Now Matthew and Mark here says, for now on you'll be fishers of men. Luke says, from now on, you'll catch men. Last verse, verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Always when we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and study through the life of Jesus, the stories of Jesus, stories about Jesus, we always will sometime come to the story where he says, I'm going to now commission you to go out and catch men, not fish. Peter and Andrew and James and John dropped their nets and they completely committed themselves to Jesus Christ. They totally and absolutely committed their lives to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Don't you hope your children here, Florence Boulevard children and their friends that's come, don't you hope your children learn that they, as they grow up, are called to be fishers of men? Don't you hope that your children, as they grow up, are going to be called and understand their call to be fishers of men? For so long, we've made light, sometimes made fun of. I used to do this very badly. Make fun of people who talk about being called. And I've learned better. I ever said some things I said about being called. I still don't think it's a little still voice or different things like this, but through the Scriptures, we're called by God to do a lot of things. When I first became a Christian and really, really beginning to read the Bible, it just always kept telling me to do something. It took a long search. It took a lot of prayer. It took time to figure out what God wanted me to do. When I was working at Ford Motor Company, and I hadn't told this story in a long time because I told it one time, and there was a former Ford employee there, and he didn't appreciate it, and I understood his thought. I agreed with him. It's been long enough that maybe I can say it. I come a point in my life where I would pray. I never thought about preaching, but I prayed religiously. I prayed continually, Lord, get me out of this plant for just 1 year. Just 1 year. Let me do something with the church. Just 1 year. And now I'm going on 40 years. And what I said at that time that I haven't said in a long time, and be careful how I say it here, that maybe the Lord closed that plant just for me. Because I prayed hard. Lord, get me out. Someone says, well, you could have just quit and went on. I didn't have enough faith. I didn't know how to. But every time I read the Bible, when I read the Bible now, it still is telling me something to do, to go out and do. Not a miraculous thing, not a woo-woo, woozy thing, but just the Bible tells me to do something. And I hope for your children that this week they learn and they grow up and they realize they're called to be fishers of men. There's nothing wrong with playing baseball and football and basketball and being in the band and drama and all these other things. These are wonderful things, and not criticizing anything. But Scripture calls us to serve God, calls us to be fishers of men. These passages, chapter 5, especially 1 through 11, reminds us that disciples, that we're to make disciples. Before we're called out on a commission, we're to be made a disciple. What does Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20 say? What's it say? Somebody got a Bible? Want to read it real loud for me? Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, going through verse 20. Sir? That's right. But before that in Matthew 20, it says make disciples. Make disciples. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Well, that's what we're to do. Before we can be commissioned ourselves, we've got to be made a disciple. And you're thinking, hey, I've been a disciple for many years. I've been a disciple a long time. And that's great. But before one can take a commission like the apostles, they had to become disciples. Remember when Jesus chose these men as disciples and he'd say, follow me and follow me. And then we see here he'd said, follow me to Peter and Andrew and James and John. And here's where we see they dropped it all. And they were disciples, but also now they're apostles. And when Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, they became fishers of men. They put their nets down. I don't know that they went fishing again, except for men. They put their nets down. We do see on in the gospel story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that there were times they caught fish and they ate the fish. But we don't see them any longer being employed as fishermen or making a, that was their vocation. They dropped their nets. I'm glad they did. At the end of verse 4, again, I insert the word trust. Listen to this, if you're with you, very short. A man by the name of Clement of Alexander from 150 A.D. to 212-13 A.D., he lived. He was a Christian theologian way back there just right after the time of Jesus. And Clement of Alexander wrote this, fisher of men, the blessed, out of the world's unrest, out of sin's troubled sea, taking us, Lord, to Thee, out of the waves of strife, with bait of blissful life, drawing Thy nets to shore, with choicest fish, good store. Being fishers of men was what they become. But notice verse 5. Peter didn't want to, but he did. That's a strong point. Peter didn't want to, but he did. You know, we've already done this, Lord. We didn't catch anything. Just launch out again. The church doesn't want to either. And generally we don't. We really don't. If our children, your children, don't learn this to be fishers of men, then they probably won't ever fish for men. Now, I know enough about Florence Boulevard that you do a tremendous mission work and certainly commended for it. And that's how we've learned to be fishers of men, is by supporting mission work. And there's nothing wrong, that's great. But there's got to be a time that we ourselves become fishers of men. What's going to happen to the church? The less we want to do the hard things, the more we become like others. And I wrote this and want this to, I want this to resonate to us. Being an inside church is a far cry from being a Great Commission church. And I don't mean to sound critical. I'm talking to myself, but we've become an inside church. We don't launch out very much. We do a lot of great things, and some do, but as a church as a whole, we've become, over the many years, I've done it, I've seen it as a preacher, and a lot of it's my fault. We've become an inside church and not a Great Commission church. When Jesus said, go into all the world, go and preach to all nations, what does that literally mean? Brother Wayne Kilpatrick taught me this several years ago, and several other people since. When it says go into all the world, the meaning there is, as you're going, preach the gospel. Wherever you're going, preach the gospel. Whatever you're doing, preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. So, with a real long introduction, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Let's first pick our spot. What little fishing I've ever done or gone with someone else, they always pick a spot. We don't just get in the truck or don't just go down to the river and just say, hey, we're just going to fish everywhere. We generally pick a spot. So let's first pick our spot. And of course, our spot is the world. But where in the world? I put down here, where in the world? It's a wide open place. Next door is a part of the world. Down the street is a part of the world. Not the best place, but a good place to start is at work. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Not many people are converted. Not many people or not many times can we get into good Bible studies at work. But that's a great place to start. That will help us just talking to people, them asking us questions. Us asking them questions is a great place to pick a spot. Another great place to pick a spot is at church. Right here. Because there's always going to be people visiting. There's always going to be people that maybe has not obeyed the gospel yet. There's always folks at church to encourage, to teach, to teach a little bit more. Take the opportunity right here when you're here to preach and teach. So, pick a spot. Remember Moses? Of course. He didn't want to be picked, or he didn't want to pick a place. Moses didn't want to go. But he did, didn't he? Moses didn't want to go, but he did. And then Moses didn't want to go alone, so God said, take your big brother with you. Take him with you. That's okay. When Jackie and I was first really approached about the gospel, I know I've told this story a time or two when I've taught here, that on the way to work at Ford Motor Company, going through TVA reservation, sitting in a purple 1957 Chevrolet with black leather seats, a Hurst 4-speed, 327, nice car. And the guy looks at me and says, I was restored last night. I had no knowledge of the Bible. I really didn't ever care much about having knowledge for the Bible. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But this guy began to teach us. Remember when God said, take your brother with you? Well, when this guy first came to see us, he didn't come alone. He had never done this before either. He was as nervous as we were. And he was showing us the old Jewel Miller film strip with a record that when it come time to change the video, it would go beep. Any of y'all remember that? I told this a while back, and somebody says, Sonny, about most of the people in your audience don't even know what Jewel Miller film strips are. Does anybody here not know what a Jewel Miller film strip is? Now, it's okay to raise your hand or nod. Probably a lot of people don't know what they... But that's how Jack and I was converted. A set of film strips by a man by the name of Jewel Miller. There was a text somebody also that helped him with these. When I was a student at IBC... One of the workshops that come up, on the program it said Jewel Miller. And I went to somebody and I said, I thought Jewel Miller was a film strip. I didn't know he was a man. And I went and introduced myself to Jewel Miller and I said, Brother Miller, you taught me and my wife the gospel. Oh, he was tickled about that. But here's what I want to tell you. This guy had never taught anyone. So he brought someone with him. You know who he brought with him? You know an old boy named Glenn Tatum? First time I met Glenn Tatum, he brought Glenn Tatum over with him, and they began to teach Jackie and I. Gave this guy courage, encouraged us. You see, there's always somebody willing to help you if you're willing to go fishing. Going fishing. We got a place. We better have some bait. One reason I don't go fishing, it costs me money to go fishing. Every time I go fishing, I gotta buy a whole bunch of stuff. Jackie says, "Why you gotta buy all that for?" Well, you gotta have bait. Bait costs a lot of money. But we gotta have a place, and so we better have some bait. We don't choose bait to dangle over someone. We don't choose bait that hooks someone in the mouth. We choose the gospel of Jesus Christ. We choose the scriptures. Now in the book of Luke, turn to chapter 24 and let's look at verses 40 through 45 as we're thinking about what kind of bait we want to use to reach someone else. I mentioned Jewel Miller film strips. Boy, that was a great way to teach people. There's a Bible study called Open Bible Study. Maybe you've used those. I wasn't very good with Open Bible Study. His name has jumped out of front of my head. Brother Humphreys that just passed away. What was his name? Anybody know Brother Humphreys? Jerry. Why, sure. It just jumped out of my head. I've always used a Bible study that he made and still produces, the family still produces. Very simple one-shot Bible study that you can make several studies out of it. That's what I like to use, but I want you to listen to this. I ask you to listen to this. Luke chapter 24, verses 40 through 45. Luke writes, "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet." This is after the resurrection. "But that while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Do you have any food here?'" Now Jesus has been resurrected again. "And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate in their presence." And listen to verse 44. "And then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" Look at verse 45. "He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Brethren, I ask you to believe me on this. Because you may say, "But I don't know the scriptures well enough to sit down and teach someone." But I want you to believe me on this. I'm a firm believer that God will open the scriptures to you. Not miraculously like he did them, not in the way that he did them, but he will open the scriptures to you. I'm going to say most of you, maybe all of us, has gone to church for years, years and years. We've been going to church about 47 years. We've been Christians, I think it's 47 years this year. Not miraculously. But as we're beginning to talk to someone, our minds will begin to work. We'll begin to remember scriptures. We'll begin to remember things. I'm not going to say this is all you need to know, but this is what you need to know. Or what you need to do, I need to do, is tell people what we did. I'm going to guess and say everyone here can tell people what you did. And I believe, truly believe, not in a miraculous way, I keep saying that, but God will allow us to remember scriptures, things to say, When I was at IBC, I'd never done any writing at all. Still a very poor writer. And I was in a grammar class where we had to do some writing. And here's the first lesson our teacher taught us, and this has helped me more than anything. Because when you're a preacher, you've got to write those bulletin articles. If you don't write anything else, you've got to write those bulletin articles. And you sit down at your desk and you're trying to think what to write and nothing comes. Here's what he said. Just start writing. Just start making your pen, your pencil, your typewriter, a computer. Just start. And he said, I'll promise you this, and it's true. Things will come to you. You'll come up with a bulletin article. You'll come up with something. Just start. Here's our trouble sometimes. We don't start. We come to that blank page and there's nothing there, and so we just turn to another blank page and don't go any farther. I want you to believe me on this. If you'll begin, if I'll begin, we'll begin to talk to people. We'll begin to remember. We'll begin to think. Things will come to our mind. We'll begin to answer their questions. We'll begin to have questions to say to them. Everybody that is a disciple, everyone that is a disciple, can teach someone else. Just tell them what you did. You know, fella come and begin to teach us about the Scriptures and show us Scriptures, and that he would read Scriptures and we'd read Scriptures, and he talked to us about believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he began to talk about we need to repent. I know you remember that. You need to repent. You need to change your life. You change your mind that causes you to change your conduct in life. And then maybe you're going to remember something about it was said to you that you need to confess that Jesus is God's Son. And then he come to that part where he says, you know, you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Tell somebody what you did. And maybe they'll want to do the same thing. How many here didn't grow up, and you can raise your hand or say, how many here didn't grow up going to church? Did all of you? I see a hand there. Hand here. A hand, you know, there's a few hands everywhere. I realize that most of us is always going to church. Now, this is just true. When this guy kept talking to us, one day he started talking about a teaching that's not in the Bible, but he started talking about the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. We was on our way to Ford one day. He'd talk to me every day. Seriously, you know what I thought? It's going to rain 1,000 years? I say in R-A-I-N. I knew a little bit about the ark, and I knew a little bit about, 40 days? But here this guy's talking and saying, you know, some people believe it's going to rain. Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. I never picked it up. I never understood. And those of us that doesn't have a background, but we've been going to church for years. We've become accustomed to the Scriptures. We can tell somebody what somebody told us and what we did. I get a little embarrassed, like when your preacher was up here and sang the books of the Old Testament. I've been now preaching right at 40 years. And I can get them mixed up. That's horrible. I shouldn't confess that terrible thing, but I can get them mixed up. And now that I've gotten older and my mind don't work, I do this every time. I'll start looking for a book in the Old Testament that's over here, and the first thing I'll do is turn over here. Or if it's over here, it's not that I don't know them, because I do know them. Titus camp this year, I'm going to get to help some young boys study from the book of Malachi and looking forward to it, because I'm still weak in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament's tremendous. But what I'm saying is, is what we see back in Luke 4 through chapter 5 and verse 11 is to trust God and launch out. Don't be afraid. I can be intimidated more than anybody you've ever met. I've always been intimidated by things. I've always been gullible. I've always believed pretty much what anyone's told me. And I just assumed that it was true. Good buddy, preacher friend of mine one day and said, "Man, Sonny, you should have been at church yesterday." I said, "What happened?" He said, during the invitation, this guy jumped up, run all the way down the aisle, run up and jumped in the baptistry. I said, "Really? This guy did?" He said, "No, of course not." He said, "People don't do that." I thought he was telling, if you tell me something, I'm going to say, "Hey, I believe you. I think that probably happened." And so because you can be, I'm gullible, sometimes I don't want to launch out. Singing these songs here, I've had to do it. Brother Darrell Davis was just, he was always so good. And he tried his best to get me to do it, and I wouldn't launch out. If I have to, I'll do it. It won't be like how some do it. But going back to Luke chapter 5 and verse 4 and thinking about the word trust, where Jesus said these words, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." Have we lost the desire to fish, churches of Christ? Have we lost the desire to go fishing? I have, if you're talking about fish out there, a creek or a pond or a Tennessee River, I've lost the desire. I just can't catch fish. It's almost a waste of time for me. But as a church and catching men, people, have we lost our desire? I want to say two things to it. Number one, many have never had the desire. Many have never had the desire to share Jesus Christ with someone. And you'll say, "Oh, listen, here's what I do. I just live a great life and an influential life." If you think that, I'm going to burst your bubble. Me and a fellow argue about this a lot. I'm right and he's wrong, but he says he's right and I'm wrong. Without the words, the gospel is words. Without words, a person cannot be taught. They might be influenced to make some changes, but if words from Scripture is not in that, a person cannot be converted. Influence, you can't put an importance on it because it's so important. The first thing this guy did with me was he influenced me. He didn't just talk us into it. He influenced us to sit down and read the Bible with him. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew and to the Greek." Without the gospel, we cannot be saved. Without hearing words. And those people that you're doing and I'm doing, hopefully we're all doing such a good job of influencing them, we got to put words with it. But let me help you out. You don't have to have all the words. Take somebody with you till you get the words yourself. Take somebody with you that will help you out. Because only through the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ can one be saved. Many people, maybe some of us here, have maybe been baptized again sometime in our life. And generally, here's what we've said. "Well, I was young, and there was a gospel meeting going on, and all of my friends were being baptized, so I just went down there and was baptized too." That happens. I know it happens. I have people tell me that all the time, that it happens, or has happened, did happen. And the influence or the peer pressure, whatever, from someone else may get us to want to. But brethren, as I read Scripture now, I've got to. We've got to put the Word of God in the hearts and the minds of people that they can hear themselves the message from the Holy Spirit of God that we have in this book right here, and put the words together that we can be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1 through verse 4, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. I preached it, you heard it. You're beginning to stand by it, by which you were saved," in verse 2, "if you hold fast that word." We can't hold fast an influence. Influence is wonderful, but we can't hold fast to an influence. We hold fast to the Word of God. "That which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And here's the passages I want you to really hear, see. Paul says, "For I delivered to you, Corinthians, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Our conversion and the conversion of others has got to be based off of the Scriptures. And I know we all know that, but becoming fishers of men, we don't only need to know that, we must do that. So this week, let's go fishing. Let's catch somebody. Don't hook them and don't dangle something out in front of them, but let's catch them for Jesus Christ. Let's at least try. This guy that taught us, we were the first, and the first catch he went after, he caught. And here's what I want to say. Not sure what time it's supposed to close, but we're about to. This is not words actually in the Bible, but it's true. If you catch them, God will claim them. You see, it took a guy to come catch Jackie and I, and God claimed us. But we've got to go fishing. It's wonderful to do all these things inside our meeting house and what we call inside the church. But if we're not a Great Commission church, are we a church that belongs to Christ? Just think about those things. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about building a tent. My looking at the videos and searching things about winter camping in a tent like this, you wouldn't want to do it in a tent like this. You could. But winter camping, you've got to have a way to stay warm. You've got to have a fire. But you've got to have something in there to where you got to pitch your tent. We all know the story of Lot and pitching his tent. As we talk about pitching our tent tomorrow night, we want to make sure we pitch it in the right direction. Thank you for allowing us to be here. What time is the bell supposed to ring? Am I a little short?
No, you're fine.
Good. Any questions, sir?
You're just right.
Good. Hey, thank you. Boy, I like that. I'm just right. anybody got any questions or thoughts? Anything stir you up in any direction? Will you be fishers of men? To do our best to just bring somebody to the Lord. Since I got a half a second, let me tell you a sad story. The guy that taught us the gospel, it didn't stay with him. He became a Christian, went off way back into the world. But I thank God often, not just saying that, I thank God often, that before he quit, he caught me and he caught Jackie. And we're going to go to heaven because we become one of the fish that was caught and cleaned by God. Thank you so much. Thank you, and I apologize.